Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down, but when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/pod.
Hey, it's Michelle Beadle. That's right, the Michelle Beadle. You're welcome. You love talking about sports. I love talking about sports. You know the only thing cooler than talking about sports? Sports! And right now, all your favorite sports are on SiriusXM. I'm talking every NFL game, every game from the NBA, NHL, MLB, every NASCAR race, golf major, major conference college sports, and all the top games in the WNBA. If it gets your heart pumping, it's on SiriusXM. So start your free trial of SiriusXM today. Visit SiriusXM.com/believe.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast. We'll be here with a new episode for you right after this quick note.
BetOnline is your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. From baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights in UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played. When the games are over, head on over to our online casino and get in on a game of blackjack or poker or unwind with one of our 150 slot games. Head to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BELIEVE for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. BetOnline, the game starts here.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast. My name is James Williams, a reporter and an editor for the Orange County Register and the Southern California News Group. And as always, I'm joined here by former UCLA linebacker Josh Woods. Josh, what's going on, man?
You know, it's been a minute. I've been gone, but I'm back now. I'm not back in California, but back on the pod. Unfortunately, it's been some ups, some downs, and now it's a down. Yeah, unfortunately, I got hurt, and I'll be out for the remainder of the season. It's crazy because it's the exact same injury that I had at UCLA, where it's like a contact injury, like a fluke freak play, where it's like the chances of it happening are like crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like nothing I could have done, just in a vulnerable position, and got rolled upon.
Oh, that what it was?
Yeah. So it happened to my other knee, which was my good knee. So. Yeah, it's tough, man. So much work I put into this, so much effort, and I feel like in the midst of it was, you know, kind of a breakout year for me up here.
I think that's what like, it was looking like. That's what it was sounding like.
I know I was on like an all-star pace to start the year, and I got cut short. Definitely going kind of a different route with this knee, just the approach with surgery and stuff like that. Like I'll be getting my surgery next month and going from there. And yeah, I think, you know, being me, having gone through it, I know what it's like. I know what I need to do. Like I was saying earlier, it's a consistent like routine. It does get kind of boring, but it's exciting when I'm gonna, you know, have new milestones and new achievements. Probably those will come after the surgery, but you know, it sucks. I'm just looking forward to, you know, next year and being back. It's crazy because like I said before, just having, you know, a good friendship and like brotherhood, I was really, you know, helping Hudson Hammermill with his situation. And then I'm like, guess what? We're doing this together for real. So you know, we just back and forth updating each other. And I got really good people around me, you know, back home and up here. Just one of the reasons I wanted to come back to the BC Lions was the organization and the people in the building. And it's a family. And honestly, the love and support that I've been given up here from, like I said, the boys in the locker room to the fans to even, you know, peers across the league. It's been great. I will be back next year ready to go, I promise. But yeah, now I have more time and I can talk UCLA football, man. So what do you want to talk about? It's been a minute. You know, I feel like a lot. I've been on Twitter. I have been seeing, you know, a lot's going on.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like they got it cooking down in Westwood.
Mm-hmm.
The welcome to the Foss era. You know, do more. I'm seeing recruits getting on the wave, all these commitments. You know, it's feeling like the Foss era is giving Broom Revolution 2.0. You know what I'm saying? As far as you feel the energy, you see the activity. You see it from the players. You see it from the coaches on Twitter. You see it from the fans. You're seeing it from the recruits. You're seeing it from the recruits' family. It's infectious, like the energy. I've only seen and heard good things, you know what I'm saying? And it looks really good when the other school across the street, like fans are even kind of getting frustrated about it.
Yeah.
And it's looking like we're going to be, you know, a top recruiting class. Like, we haven't been that in so long.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be really important. You know, it's our first year in the Big Ten. Yeah, our roster kind of is what it is. We did make some improvements, I feel like, you know, with the portal. And we definitely have some guys that are going to have breakout years. But just continuing in this Foss era is going to take, you know, these big recruiting classes. And you know, like Foss said, like Foss wants this to be his last stop. So that's like, this is, you know, this is a process, you know, building like, yeah, it's an era. It's a, you know, he's trying to build that dynasty. You know what I'm saying? And that doesn't just happen overnight, especially when you're handed over, you know, the keys to a team that didn't win a championship last year. You know what I'm saying?
It's not like he inherited Alabama.
Exactly. Like the coach from UW, I'm forgetting his name.
DeBoer.
But like, you're inheriting a playoff team with the top, you know, guys from the past few years with, you know, all these things in a legacy, you know,
right.
even Coach Fish going to UW, he's going to a team that just came off going to the national championship, you know, having these guys drafted and again, having these recruiting classes. Foss, even though he's been here, he's taking over the keys to a team that unfortunately hasn't, you know, been, you know, we haven't had top classes. We haven't, the recruiting wasn't where it should have been these past, you know, 5-6 years. And he's making it work with what he has and, you know, making the correct changes and implementing things that are really going to turn the program around. And I think we're seeing that.
The thing that I find most interesting about all of this is, one, I feel like I'm a lot more busier than in the off season than I ever have. But it's just interesting because it's not like he's a complete outsider. It's a guy who's been within the program. And just to see the 9-day differences between someone who was already in the building. Like, if I had given Deshaun Foster truth serum, I'd be curious to know, like, while Chip was there, like, what did DeFoster, like, really think? Or how was he really feeling about, like, just the way they went about recruiting, the way they did this, the way they did that. It's just interesting. I don't know if UCLA's ever done this before, but they had a 7-on-7 tournament last month. Did they ever do that before?
We used to do that. It used to be a thing for every year.
I was at this 7-on-7 tournament, going between the intramural field and the facility.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to watch all these different schools. There was at least two schools. Well, Warren had a commit, Madden, the quarterback. Then they had Jace Brown, who had not committed yet, but was literally less than 24 hours from coming off his official visit before returning and having the 7-on-7 tournament. And then there was another guy who I think didn't commit yet, or I think he was committed. I can't remember, but he was on Santa Margarita or he was on one of the other teams. I can't remember. But even him, like there was a few guys out there. Like I wasn't out there just because they were hosting a 7-on-7 tournament. I was out there to watch and talk to commits. Like that's the thing. I wasn't doing that the last 4 or 5 years I was covering UCLA. That was not a thing. you know, and I'm watching. There's more guys to keep up with. They're transferring to high schools. One just went to St. Corona Centennial from Chaparral. Another one just transferred somewhere else, I think. So, like, they're getting ready. They're playing big boy football this upcoming season. And it's just an interesting time for sure. I don't know if you saw today. And I know you had kind of asked me about this a little bit earlier, too. You asked me when Big Ten Media Day is. It's like July 23rd through the 25th or something like that. But they announced the players that are going. So it's going to be Ethan Garbers, Jay Toya, and linebacker Olufemi Oludejo. They'll be joining Deshaun Foster out there in Indiana. One, I think that's a good thing just because it's not just two players, right?
I
enjoy talking to, who is it, you and – oh, and Josh Kelly at the time,
my year – oh, no, you had – me and Theo Howard, yeah. And the next year was Chris Barnes and Josh Kelly.
And Josh, yeah. And that's what, okay, right. So, and it was just like, okay, two people, I mean, that's cool, but it was like when you have like three, four different people, it makes it that much more interesting, but I can't talk. But I am getting a little bit of FOMO over here because the Pac-12 Network or the Pac-12 Conference used to have their media days in Vegas, or they had the last couple years. And now they're going to be in Indiana for the Big Ten. But now the Big 12 is in Las Vegas this week. The Pac-2, they're still going by the Pac-12, but the Pac-2, they had an after-hours media day with an open bar to try and get people to come? They did that yesterday in Vegas. So
were the teams with the players there?
Yeah. At first, I didn't know if the players went, but the players were there. It was kind of no different, like, they each brought two players. The coaches were there. They had some of the alumni from each school were there. And then Yogi was hosting the thing. So it was just kind of business as usual. But, I mean, everyone was in Vegas except the Big Ten. They want to go to Indy. I don't know if I'm going to Indy, but remains to be seen. But we'll be figuring it out. I'm going to actually ideally be talking to some players here coming up shortly sometime next week. Because the EA Sports College Football 25 video game is coming out. I've been talking on the podcast a little bit about that. But UCLA, or actually the men of Westwood, is going to be hosting an event for fans to come out. They can buy a ticket. They can play games with the players, take photos, and tour the facility and whatnot. And hopefully we get a chance to talk to some of the guys there. And that'll kind of serve a little bit as a media day in a way. But it's just interesting to even see these schools again rally around a video game. Josh, are you? I've been thinking about this because I mentioned the video game thing to you before, and you were kind of like, you seemed kind of meh about it. Are you just too young? Is that what's happening? Did you not grow up playing the game?
Am I too young? No, I'm salty because I wasn't in the game. I've been playing. What are you talking about? I played the game.
I couldn't remember.
Well, yeah, two decades ago, like.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you're what, five?
Like,
wait, how old are you?
I'm 26. I'm getting older, okay?
But the game came out in 2013. I don't know how old you were in 2013.
No. I've been playing this thing since 2005, 2004, 2003.
Okay.
I knew this. I was just salty that the years that I was at UCLA, there was no game.
Yeah.
So, like, it literally missed my entire career at UCLA. I never got to play with myself in the game.
Yeah.
And now it's back, and they're getting paid for it. It's just, yeah, I'm salty. Will I play the game? Yes. Will my dynasty be UCLA? Yes. Will my road to glory be a UCLA player? Yes. Because it's me. I'm going to live.
This is me. This is my time.
I'm living my real life through the game.
You know what's a little bit of a bummer? And I guess it depends because they probably only put select teams in. But I know at least some of the older games, they used to put in some, like, older teams in it. So that would have been kind of cool if, like, one of your teams was in it. But I think
logistically, yeah, like, I feel like it was hard enough getting every player, already buying into the game.
Right.
So, like, yeah, I don't know if they would have to contact all those previous rosters and get,
I mean,
the okay, and then pay everybody.
Even if you were just a jersey number, like they used to do back in the day.
I mean, yeah, but.
But you want that likeness.
No, no, no. I don't. No, yeah. I was like, I don't even. Yeah, I don't need the little $600 check, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Just put me in the game.
Right. Face scan me. Put me in the game.
Face scan pre knee injury, pre shoulder injury. Fresh, yeah. Fresh 19-year-old Josh Woods. Put him in the game.
Okay. I see you kind of surprised me there because you started talking about Dynasty Mode, Road to Glory. I didn't think I got the impression. I was like, maybe I won't talk to Josh about it because he didn't seem all that interested when I mentioned it. So I was like,
No, especially right. Now that I have time, I'm counting down the days because,
okay, fair.
From a video game perspective, there's been a lack of new games on the market. And to like bringing back a game like this, like the expectations are so high that if they disappoint, like it might be the end. Of video, like for me, it's gonna take a lot. I already don't play Madden anymore. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I stopped Madden a long time ago. I think with this one, I don't think there's anything wrong. The hype and just the fact that the game is back, I think the first one's gonna be fine. It's like 2 or 3 years down the road.
But the real the gamer side, there's certain feel to the game that like people want that Madden's been missing. And they have been, adamant about if you bring the game back, do not mess it up. Like, it needs to play a certain way. Because even though, I mean, Madden and NCAA were both football games, both EA Sports games, the play and the feel of those games were a little different. Right. And a lot of people, that's why a lot of people lean to NCAA because it played a certain way. You know, the gameplay was a little different. The controls, this is just a little different. You know what I'm saying? So, I know a lot of diehard people that are like, yeah, like they better not mess this up because they took all this time doing it. They had years to, figure this out. So, I hope it meets expectations.
One thing. So obviously, as we just mentioned, they didn't have the game when you were there. Cause so one of the biggest things for me is like, I have already admitted I'm not the biggest X's and O's guy. If it's up to me, I'm just throwing four verticals and just throwing the ball and letting the computer catch it. I'm not going to lie. I'm very basic. I don't care. But one thing I'm looking forward to now that I know you're on board with the game is knowing like, okay, when you play as UCLA and then in the middle of the season, when you're watching UCLA, I want to know I don't know how they're going to know what the playbook is, especially because it's like Eric Bieniemy's just coming in. So like, I'd be curious, what are they even going to make the playbook? Is it going to be Chip's playbook? Do they just throw random play? Like, I'm curious to know how that's going to work.
I mean, generally, you kind of know what kind of offense, people run or what kind of scheme they run. So, like, people that are more West Coast, people that are more, Power Eye, like, you got to give, Army, the triple option stuff. And, that's what they'll have. Of course, they're not going to be the exact plays that Eric Bieniemy is running. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But you're going to have, like, your basic concepts and basic plays that are kind of same. I mean, maybe they watch tape and they put a few of those plays in, but it's never going to be a real play. And the same thing for defense. If a school runs more 3-4, then that's going to be their base defense. Not saying you can't switch them to a 4-3 on the game,
but
they're going to give you their base is going to be 3-4 and they're going to have plays and coverages that are, generic and blitzes are not going to be, because there's certain things that you can't make a video game do as far as like blitzes and reads and certain things. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of things are going to be like generic. You're going to have, your cover one, your cover zero, your cover two, your cover three, your cover four, maybe a cover six. You're going to have basic like Mike A-gap blitz, like a Sam C-gap blitz. You know what I'm saying? Where like in real life, that might be a Sam tackle read with the end, out charging. You know what I'm saying? Where there's certain elements to real life that you play with that
it would be hard to rip.
Yeah, like I don't think you can, make it do all that. And there are, in football, there are these coordinator gurus that like, it'd be impossible to formulate until a game the match man fire zone pressures that the defense is running or the, whatever Eric Bieniemy's drawing up, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, right.
or certain plays, you know, even the stuff that the Chiefs run, like the plays that they talk. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've watched like quarterback or
no, I haven't, but I need to.
Where like Mahomes and Reed, like the way like they will make almost sometimes like make up plays, try them out at practice, and mm-hmm. like maybe run in the game, and that's where you get some of these crazy ideas that happen on Sundays. Are just kind of like made up plays that they're like, this actually might work, and then using them. But like you couldn't have the play where, you know, they're kind of like ring around the rosy.
Oh, right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or like that one year Michigan lined up in a straight line and then broke mm-hmm. into the formation. You know, something like that. Even right, like the right. split. Like there's certain things where it's like, it's a video game. Like, yeah. It's not real.
Right. So I guess it's fair to say that you or that players will not be using the game not to replace like studying film and stuff, but like,
they better
there's
not.
There's no like advantage, not advantage. I don't know. Like, there's nothing you guys can take from it, right? Like,
there, I would say there is some you okay. can, it might be able to help you identify the coverage as far as like, oh, this is, I'm playing against cover one, this single high safety. Mm-hmm. Oh, it looked like cover one, but it's cover three with the corner dropping high thirds, you know? And then like, if you're maybe a pass rusher or a running back, like maybe a move you did, you're like, oh, like that was a cool move. I might try that at practice tomorrow. Like I did growing up, played running back. So yeah, if I seen like I made a certain juke or a spin move mm-hmm. or a stiff arm, like I might try that in real life or a certain pass rush that like I might just try it. You know what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. as a kid, that's you kind of do. I mean, As a young kid, you're kind of learning the rules, like Madden and NCAA right, helps rules. Right. But like, as of now, it would be like, oh, that move was kind of cool. I might try something like that. It might inspire you without you knowing. Like, right. I'm gonna try that spin move tomorrow.
That makes sense. Okay, so even if I were to ask the players this, I don't know if they would admit it. But as someone who, let's say, the game came out when you were in college. Are you spending some extra time up at night? Like, are you playing the game as much as you can? Or are you still being a responsible college athlete? Or what's the deal?
In my time, let's just say there was a lot of time spent beating games or playing, trying to get wins with the boys. Like,
okay.
I'm not saying it would interfere with anything, but like mm-hmm. when you have free time, you're going to be on the game. I hope guys aren't like
fair.
pulling all nighters for the game, but like,
yeah.
Live your, you know what I'm saying? When you have free time, live your life, do things that you enjoy. And, mm-hmm. you know, video games are an outlet, you know, it might be your coping right. for your mental health, you know, you're kind of, it could be your escape in a way, you know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? So mm-hmm. yeah, get after it when you can. Don't let it affect your schedule.
Yeah. And so what console are we playing on here? Are we playing on Xbox?
PS5.
Okay.
Never an Xbox guy. PS5 all day.
We may have to play a game or two down the road. I talked about maybe even streaming it on YouTube. So if we can get that together, maybe we can do that.
That'd be pretty dope.
But I'm curious to see the game. Wait, did you pre-order?
I've been debating.
I mean, you're running out of time on this pre-order. You're either going to do it, I mean, or not.
Well, I really just need to make the decision the 3 days before the game. I don't know if
you can. Can you?
I got to make a decision like soon, but it's like if you get a certain one, you get the game 3 days early. And it's like,
if you
but
do
it's like
digital 30, only, yeah.
And it's like, well, oh, yeah.
The deluxe edition or whatever, yeah.
But
yeah.
It's like $30 more to get the game pretty mm-hmm. much 3 days early. So it's like,
it's 3 days early, though. Are you going to be sitting there watching everybody?
I've waited this long. I like watching streamers. So like,
I mean, that's cool too. But
yeah, like, and it's gonna. But that also teaches me like what I should and should not do.
Yeah, that's true.
But you know what I'm saying? So, like, oh, they messed up. I'm not going to waste my time doing that because I've seen how they just messed up.
So when I like, so I think there's already going to be some streamers that are going to be streaming it. Like on Monday and Tuesday, or like on Sunday and Monday, or just throughout this weekend. So if they're doing some dynasty stuff, maybe I'll watch that to see how they fail in recruiting or whatever, so I don't do the same mistakes. Mm-hmm. But part of me, I'm not gonna lie, I almost didn't want to go to this event that UCLA is hosting because I'm like, that's kind of interrupting my early access time. But I think the game's actually coming out on the 15th, even though they said the 16th.
I mean, so like 15th at would be like what, 9 p.m. Cali time?
No, they're saying at 1 p.m. This is like, that's technically like 4 days early.
Yeah,
but I don't know that for sure. But I looked, I saw something that.
Nah, you better go to that event and hopefully you get to.
I'm
get
going.
You finally get a tour of Washington.
I know.
You get to see the ins and outs.
I gotta get a tour. I still gotta ask about that, but I gotta get a tour because I'll be damned if I go in that facility and don't see what y'all be walking up and down the halls doing. And yeah, I mean, I'm gonna go, but I debated for a while. I went because they reached out to us and actually asked us to come and cover it, you know, or you know, the players are gonna be available and whatnot. So I'm like, all right, cool. Yeah, but I wasn't gonna ask to go. I wasn't gonna ask to go, but when they reached out about it, I was like, fine, I'll go. But I better play somebody. I better play Garbers or somebody. I better get some time on the game over there. No. It should be fun though. I'm looking forward to it. And just seeing the guys that are excited. The roster is not officially out, but I would imagine everyone who knows they're gonna be in the game's in the game. I mean, it's probably just a little bit of a bummer for some of the walk-ons, but.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, okay. Real quick, we'll get off the video game stuff here in a minute. So I actually did my top four of who I'm going to do for my dynasty. I don't know if you saw this or not.
Why is UCLA not in your top four?
So you did see it.
I see. I remember the four teams. I just know that UCLA is not there.
Because I figured if I was doing UCLA, because it's more my final four are four. I have the expectation that I'm going to play in a dynasty online with a group of people. Ideally, if it's going to be a group of
people. You're trying to pick one that others won't have.
Yes, because so it's I don't want to be playing with the UCLA fans. I do want to play with the UCLA fans, but if everyone is in the dynasty, let them fight over UCLA. I'm not gonna be getting a fight. They can have it. That's their school, whatever. I'm not gonna be in the middle of it. So I picked Long Beach State, which is my alma mater. That's one of the schools. I don't know if I want to.
I don't know if I
want to actually make the school because I don't know how that's gonna work. I might be starting from the bottom, like just like what
that's
roster
of,
are they gonna give
work.
Me?
Yeah. And, I mean, unless you could do the one where I don't know if you could do it in this, but on like other games, you kind of take over another program and then rename
change
it.
The logo. Yeah. If I could do that, so, then that'd be
yeah. Cool. But what school would you do though? What
so
school
it
would you want to?
So if I did it, my other school, and I honestly, I just picked it mainly because I thought the logo looked kind of neat, whatever. But Northern Illinois is the other one I picked, it's Northern
Trash.
Illinois. But that's why I didn't want to pick like an obvious team, right? But that's a team I would pick where it's like no one's going to be hurting if it was missing. You know what I mean?
But if you're playing with other people and they have a better team, then you just not it's not going to be.
Well, fun. Look, I mean, if someone's picking Ohio State, then I'm not picking Northern Illinois. I had Cincinnati, which is a team I one of the teams I had for my Road to Glory guy back in 2013, I guess it was. I was on Cincinnati at the time. That was before Sauce Gardner and all that, so let's not get it twisted. I was already cool with Cincinnati before that. And then I wanted to at least have a Big Ten team in there, so I went with Nebraska because they're on the roster. They're on the schedule for the upcoming season, and they're either.
So you would get an op?
They're a
conference opponent now.
Why didn't you get
one of the last two Pac-2 teams?
No. Okay. So this is why. The reason why I picked a Big Ten team to potentially be one of my teams is because I want to play the other Big Ten teams. And by doing that, I'll know who the other team's rosters are, get familiar with that. It's all studying, man.
Okay, you trying to infiltrate. Okay.
I'm just trying to, you know.
And I'm here now.
So that was the point. That was that's the reason. So it would be like Nebraska, Wisconsin. It wouldn't be Ohio State. It wouldn't be Michigan. Those are all obvious. But so that's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm still deciding. It might just be Nebraska, just because they're a decent team. I think they have a young quarterback who's a true freshman, Dylan Raiola, if I'm not mistaken. So if I did a dynasty mode there, I would have a solid quarterback, ideally, for like 3 years. So,
but like, what would you do when you play UCLA? Like, you would lose on purpose?
No, I'm spamming. I'm trying to destroy the coach, Deshaun Foster and company. I'm trying to run up the score. Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I don't know if it muted or went out for a second.
Oh, it went out. I was touching the mic. But anyway, so Nebraska is totally an option for me. But so what about you? Is it just for sure UCLA? You don't have – see, you have to have a backup team, because if you were to – if assuming you're going to play online, Dynasty, right? And there's a good chance – I'm trying to get all the Believe folks, ideally, to play an online Dynasty. So if you were in that, I mean, I guess you could probably get UCLA, but – you don't have.
I mean, that'd be cool if you, yeah, you just, you get to represent your show.
That's what I'm saying. That'd be kind of cool.
I mean, as a backup, see, my brother is at law school in Michigan.
Okay.
So that potentially would be the backup. Or
this is one of the younger brothers, the twins?
No, this is my older brother.
Okay, right. I was going to say, yeah, okay.
Yeah. So, naturally, that's probably number two. Number three, because my best friend, Gary Baker, his younger brother, Brandon Baker, is okay. Now a true freshman at Texas.
And Gary, did Gary Baker go to, he went to Upland?
Yeah, and Gary Baker went to Oregon.
Okay, his name sounds familiar, yeah.
And he and his younger brother was a five-star out of Modern Day and is now attending Texas. So potentially Texas.
Not bad.
And a fourth one, because at the end of the day, my last two schools were UCLA and Oregon. So, like, I feel like maybe I had to go to Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Not bad. It's not like you're just picking them because they're a good team. Okay.
No, there's going to be a tie. Like, it has to be a tie.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, that's cool. That's respectable. I can get behind that. So that's that. I do want to jump back over to the real UCLA schedule here. For the future, actually. And I'm kind of curious for your thoughts on this. So they had Georgia and Auburn on the schedule for a little while now for some teams that were going to play. I have the years here written down if we want to get into the specifics. But UCLA announced earlier this week that they're moving on from, or they mutually decided to terminate contracts with Auburn and Georgia, two teams from the SEC, to bring on UC Davis, Cal, and Utah. What do you think about Utah? I mean, what do you think about Cal specifically being back in the mix to play UCLA?
I mean, I've said it before. I feel like the teams that UCLA needs to play every year are Cal and Stanford. So I think it's great. I think this also is great for the travel. Having games that won't be as far away, even Utah, compared to going all the way to Auburn or Georgia, Utah is not that bad of a flight. I mean, and it's familiar. Down the road, it will be guys that haven't been there before. But just in a sense of even with Coach Foster and the coaching staff and, you know, guys that have played there or coached there before. So, I mean, I like it. I mean, if you want to play Georgia, play them in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But I think
don't take that smoke on purpose if you don't need to.
Yeah, we'll see y'all down the road. Eventually, I think, you know, we see those teams as this Foss era is taking off. Definitely down the road, we'll see them. But I think, it makes a lot of sense. Yeah, having more local games, having, you know, it just makes sense logistically.
Right, it does.
And like I said, for the rivalry of us and Cal, Cal region schools, we should play them every year. Stanford, we should play them every year. So
yeah, I think the next go around when when they need to reload on games, I think Stanford will kind of be back in that mix.
The one thing that is tough though, because Stanford already usually plays Notre Dame, which is one, and then I don't know if USC is still one of their games.
So it's like kind of a limited selection, yeah, because they're locked in with their conference, and then like a Notre Dame, like you said, yeah.
I was like Notre Dame for sure. I don't know if Stanford is. I don't know where Stanford's non-conference is as far as if they locked in with SC, if because they didn't lock in with us. But
I don't know. I don't know if USC's trying to do that. I don't know what USC's trying to do, to be honest. But
I don't really care what they're gonna do. I'm just saying as far as Stanford can't play us because they're already playing them. I get that.
Right.
And like not so they're not playing both every year. But I know like Notre Dame is a lock for them. But in the way that Notre Dame is a lock for them, I think at least Cal should be a lock for UCLA. As a team that no matter what they have to play every year, you know what I'm saying? Just for the history, the legacy.
No, I agree. And let me this is a UCLA podcast. I would imagine everyone knows or is aware of the rivalry and whatnot for Cal and UCLA. But for those who don't, let me just kind of read off some of why I think this is a pretty neat rivalry. So UCLA and Cal have played one another each year as far back as 1933, and that streak will barely end this year. The streak ends this year because they don't have them on the schedule. So I think it's kind of neat that they're going to pick they're going to pick that rivalry right back up. And that's going to be in 20. I have it written down here. I'm looking through my own article. They have Utah. They have Utah in 2025. They have them in 2030. So that's a big gap there.
I'll probably be on a staff by then.
Yeah. I mean, it's just so crazy how far out. They play UC Davis in 2027 and 2029. I don't know why I didn't write when they're playing Stanford. I mean, when they're playing Cal. Wow. I got to go back and fix that. But yeah, it's somewhere in between 2025 and 2030. But it was crazy. They had games like scheduled all the way back, like in 2030. Like, yeah, they were gonna play Wisconsin in 2030 and 2029, but those games were nullified because they joined the Big Ten Conference. So, they had Northwestern scheduled for 2033, 2034. Like, that's crazy.
That's so far ahead.
That's so far ahead. You don't know what those schools are going to look like at that point in time. But I think it is kind of neat. And again, like I think one of the things that stood out to me about adding Utah to the schedule is Utah is still going to be a solid enough team that can kind of work as your big game on your non-conference schedule, right? Like you have LSU this year. You kind of get a Utah team that, I mean, UCLA hasn't had the best luck against recently, or they beat them at the Rose Bowl last year. I think not last year, but the year before when they played. But I think it's a team that UCLA could be competitive with in the near future. Obviously, years down the road, it could be different.
Yeah, it could look good for the playoff committee.
If it gets down to strength of schedule or stuff like that. I pulled it up here real quick. They're going to play Cal. At Cal in 2026, and then they are going to have it's a four-game series. So UCLA and Cal are locked in for four games, 2026, 2027, 2028, and 2029. Okay. So they're locked in for the next couple years. So that's kind of good. So that rivalry is not going anywhere anytime soon.
Question.
Yes.
Do you think we're paying them to play us?
So that was a question I got to ask old Martin German.
Because maybe they were like, we want money from y'all. How about we just play each other and y'all give us, you know, the money through that?
But if they're smart, well, hopefully if UCLA is smart. But one, since they're already paying them calimony, I don't know if you've heard that term being used. For that money they owe them because they went to the Big Ten Conference, I don't see why they even have to be paying each other anything aside from the Calamone thing, even though I don't think they should probably be paying that if they're going to play each other. But if they're in the same region, like, why does anyone owe anyone money? Like, they didn't owe money then when they were in the Pac-12.
It's a for sure Calamone situation. I thought that was a recommendation. I didn't know that was really happening.
What, that UCLA owes Cal money?
Yeah, I thought it was like a suggestion. Yeah. Like, y'all should give them, what, $10 to $11 million a year?
No, it was like a suggestion, but there was like a wink behind it. But then...
Oh, like, you got
to
do it.
You're going to pay. But then it actually got finalized where I think they had, like, within the last, like, 2, maybe 3 months now, that it kind of got finalized that they were going to pay him money for a certain number of years. But I don't know if this is relieving that. That was never mentioned. I got to ask Jarman about it or something.
Y'all go get your ACC bag. You know what I'm saying? That's...
And see, the thing that's crappy about it is this was like, it was first kind of talked about before they even joined the ACC, I think. Or, well, because part of it is they're not taking a whole lot of money. They're only getting 50% of what other teams are going to get from the TV deal.
In ACC?
Yeah.
Hey, you know what's even worse, though, is the fact that the Big 12 is trying to poach the best teams in the ACC, which mm-hmm. will make the conference even worse, and they will still have to do all that travel. Mm-hmm. That would be terrible.
Did you see what Cal I seen this before on Twitter, but Josh Pate and on the Late Kick podcast, he mentioned it recently. I don't remember the exact number, but it's somewhere around pretty much the Cal schedule with the 5 games that they're playing on the road is pretty much a trip around the earth. It's like pretty close to it.
I think they need to have like a satellite location
facility. The thing is, UCLA is not that far behind with the trip around the world too.
They're like, I mean, yeah, behind. The fact that we have to go to Hawaii and to LSU.
Yeah, you're going this way, you're going that way, you're going. Yeah, it's crazy.
There and back is it's absurd.
I don't know how they're gonna do it, but. They're going to have to do it. They wanted to be in the Big Ten Conference. So there's that. But yeah, so those are just some quick things for me. I do have a few other little nuggets to mention. UCLA did hire Corey Miller to be its new head football performance coach, apparently replacing Keith Belton, who was kind of the lead of the strength and conditioning there for the program the last couple of years and had received high reviews. Corey Miller was with the program for at least a year or two before leaving last year and was working with the linemen for the Carolina Panthers, doing their strength and conditioning and whatnot. But now he returns and he's going to be taking over that role. So going to be curious how that may or may not change things in terms of the strength and conditioning there. And then I was actually talking to Tracy McDonald from Rivals not too long before we got on there, and we find out the dietitian Ross Shunway, I believe his name, left the program in January before Chip even left. And he was kind of another big part that they credited between Belton and Shunway for the reason why there were very few injuries and whatnot the last couple of years. Apparently, you know, now the dietitian guy has apparently been away for a while, and then maybe that's why we saw some of the guys get hurt that we did. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't believe so.
Huh?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? Well, I mean, ACL and stuff, those are just freak accidents anyways, right?
Yeah. Those are all, unrelated to diet, unrelated to,
But.
And from what I saw, from what I see from Shea Pitts in social media and stuff that I see, they're Coach even Pitt. Good. Coach yeah, Coach Pitts, MC Pitts.
MC Pitts, yeah.
Host Pitts.
Host, yeah.
I the boys are eating good, great. Mm-hmm. It looks like they have great options, and I think they've kept what Ross had been doing. It's pretty similar. So
I think Ross wasn't there when you were there, right?
No.
Okay. So did you ever have a change where the dietitian changed or the strength and conditioning coach?
Yeah,
changed?
We did.
Is it a major difference? Like,
yes.
How so?
Strength staffs. I mean, those are big, like, because you're with the strength staff every day. You know what I'm saying? You're with them way more than you're with the football coaches. So, like, the culture that they implement is usually how your team is going to be the entire year. So I've seen different approaches, different styles. For some reason, it's a lot of military vibes. Like,
yeah, they love some of what you experienced. Yeah, was
military. French coaches loved them a good, you know, hoorah military.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
style, like, you know, discipline and everything like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they dictate really the culture and the energy in the building every day, which, you know, carries over to the you know, football team and practice and, you know, all that stuff. And then the same with the diet. I feel like every dietitian kind of feels like they want to have their own thing, and they say they want to get the guys what they want. From what I have seen, the food has like improved tremendously. Like compared to what I, when I first got there to when I went, right. When I first got there to when I left was a big jump, but to what they do now, they have no excuse. Like they're, the boys are eating good. Like the options, the quality, the quantity, like, UCLA food has improved. I remember there was a whole article about it and the money that got put into it. But that's, I mean, diet is a big part of development. And you, like you said, like health and that type of thing. So having those resources are big. I mean, you see other teams like Alabama have a whole facility just for food, you know? And I think UCLA's done a good job with that. So yeah, whoever, you know, takes over, I hope they continue to do what they're doing, and we'll see good results.
And one other thing, from one other last topic for me, and I kind of mentioned this to you before we got started here, was throughout the offseason, the NCAA or whoever the big higher up people are have been finalizing different decisions, coaching rule changes and stuff like that. One of them was it kind of freed up where even the analysts can be more hands-on during practice and during games with the players. One, I think that's a good thing just in general across the board because it creates an opportunity for more resources for the guys, right? And I, as I mentioned in my previous previous episode that I did, someone like Scott White will kind of maybe really kind of take the lead from Akaika Molloy there as that inside linebackers coach. And I think he'll just really kind of be able to run away with it and free up Molloy a little bit, as someone who could just focus on the defense as a defensive coordinator. But, you may have talked about him a little bit prior, but can you just tell me a little bit about Scott White and why, he was, an important part for what your time at UCLA was?
Yeah. I mean, the Bruins getting Scotty is huge for the linebacker development. I mean, of course they had Kane Norton Jr. who was, you know, one of the best of all time playing and coaching. But to continue on with another guy like Scott White, somebody that really knows his X's and O's development and really has, you know, from the bottom up, like he started, you know, as a GA under Mora. I mean, even previous before, like other guys asked me about Scotty from before he was at UCLA. But from when I got there, I saw him grind from a GA up to being a linebacker coach. And he was a key part of my development as far as like the X's and O's knowledge that I know now. I owe a lot of that to endless hours on the board with Scotty. To, you know, he's, you know, helped me a lot in learning and my development. And I hope I, even when I went back, I was like, I was telling some of the young guys, like,
yeah,
stay in this dude's office, like learn as much as you can from him. Like, you know, he's great. Having somebody of his caliber who has, you know, like coach linebackers at the Power Five, coach special teams at the Power Five level, you know, done all these things, been under these different staffs, is a great recruiter. Like,
yeah,
Scott White is a great recruiter. He, I mean, the guy that he was able to bring into San Jose State, I always tell him this. I'm like, dude, like your linebackers are, you know, the strength of the team. I see it, you know, in their play and on special teams. I'm like, dang. He's always telling me, yeah, I got this young cat from da-da-da. Like, he's going to be this, this, that. And then a lot of time, like, we compare it to people that we know. And we're like, oh, right. Like this guy, he's kind of like you. Or he'll be like, oh, this, he's like a Jayon Brown or he's like a Cam Judge or, you know what I'm saying? Right. I haven't heard him say anybody's a Miles Jack or a Eric Kendricks yet, but maybe one day. But yeah, his his style the players really love. So, I mean, I know he's a big part in, you know, the success of recruiting that's been happening at UCLA right now. And, yeah, to get a guy like that on your staff so Malloy doesn't have to worry about the linebackers and, like, you're pretty much getting – I mean, he is, like, a position coach. I mean, his title might not be, you know what I'm saying? But
yeah,
he's the linebacker coach. And I think it's going to be great. And, you know, hopefully we continue on, you know, the LBU status, you know, and with guys like Femi, guys like, you know, Ali Kaho and, you know, Kane. I think that is going to be, you know, the core of the defense, going to be the strength of the defense. And those guys are going to have breakout years.
No doubt about it. Anything else you want to talk about? Anything else we forgot about?
Anyone? No. I mean, it's been, I know it's been a minute. I probably missed stuff. But I think, you know, it's great to be back. Yeah. Send me things tweet. To do. Yeah. Tweet me questions, you know, things that keep me busy. Yeah, all the even the love and support I've gotten from the UCLA, you know, fan base and family means so much to me. You know, this time is injuries are always rough. Like, I've been through them, and of course I know I can get through them. But you know, there's days where they're darker than other others. You know what I'm saying? Where it's frustrating and it's like sad and it's depressing because it's like, yeah, I want to be playing ball. Like, it's what I do. You know, I'm not done. I know people always, like, I've seen people already say, like, once your career, you know, go talk to Coach Foster. Why don't you join the staff? And I've talked to Coach Foster. I've talked to Scott White, you know, and they're telling me take my time, like, play as long as I can. And then when I'm ready, you know, get into coaching. And yeah, I don't think that my playing is done yet. So I'm going to continue with it, staying up here at this season. Probably go back to California after the season. And, you know, you never know how this, you know, how this is going to progress and how my recovery is going to be. But as of now, I'm ready. I'll be ready to go come May, June, beginning of the CFL season next year. So you'll get me on here talking UCLA football, but I don't think you'll get me
not coaching
with Shea Pitts quite yet.
Well, hell, the minute we get you with Shea Pitts is the minute you're done with the podcast, because there's no way they're letting you do both.
They won't. Yeah, I might let you interview me here and there, but yeah, they definitely have me on a string. Like,
yeah, we might have to hang up the microphone for you if they let you on staff.
Yeah.
But all right, man, we'll get you out of here. Thank you everybody for tuning in and listening to the podcast. We greatly appreciate it. Obviously this podcast is free. We don't ask for a whole lot. But we do ask that you subscribe, like, give us a review, whatever you guys can do, all that stuff helps with the channel and the show here that we're doing for the Believe Network. But yeah, as always, thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you guys in the next one. Thank you, everybody. This is the Believe in UCLA Football Podcast, presented by Bet Online.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.